Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9. Speaking of fun, we have Cyrus Alderwood here in the studio. Welcome back, Cyrus.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate you having me back in.
We were talking about posture, and yeah. You said you are such a great person to follow up Dr. Doubts.
I know. I come slouching in here. I feel like, you know, real bum. I'm listening to, like, how, you know, talk about being healthy and sitting up straight, and here I come just, like, bumbling in the building, you know, all hunched over.
The doctor's already gone. Yeah, I was very, very slouchy. Of course, you know, I have to get in the mood, in the right position with a microphone, and, you know, I usually kick my shoes off, and then I'm trying to find them under. So, yeah, my posture wasn't great, and he's looking at me like, oh, you're...
Well, it's impressive.
So I set up, you know.
Well, it's impressive that the both of you have actually been to a chiropractor. I've never actually been to a chiropractor. I've never actually been anywhere to get a massage, as bad as that sounds. And Rick is looking at me like, are you nuts, man?
Where
you need to get on that.
I know.
Man.
I feel like I've lost out in life.
That's,
you know?
that's like two, I mean, that's up there as two of the, some of the best things.
I'll have to look into it.
Adjustment, massage. Just like that. Adjustment, massage.
Yeah. I tried to go to the chiropractor one time, actually, when I went in there, and they were like, hey, make yourself at home, right? I kicked my shoes off. I go back to their kitchen. they didn't want me around anymore, so I left. But that was the closest I've ever come to actually getting, you know, my back cracked.
That's close. Well, you can't be mad if you're not specifying exactly what being at home means. I mean,
they're lucky I wasn't walking around in my boxers.
I was thinking the same thing. I wasn't going to say it, but
yeah, I'll say it. We're all thinking it. I'll say it. I'll throw it out there.
I bet they won't make that mistake again. They're like, this is not your home.
No.
Well, I can't speak for Dr. Doubts, but maybe it might be maybe he would.
He'll just know what
to
say, what not to say to me when I come into his office.
Okay, speaking of what to say and what not to say, I was thinking earlier before the show, we've been talking about your trip that you took
a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago to the Georgia Guidestones.
Right.
And you said you were going to be doing a book. The book is complete.
It is out. It is finished. It is on Amazon.com right now. So if you're out there and you like a good biblical thriller, then... definitely go look up the book Revelation Calling.
Okay, biblical thriller. Now, there's all sorts of genres that I'm not familiar with. We had talked about cozy mysteries, biblical thrillers. There's really something for everyone. So what is a biblical thriller?
Well, what most people think of when you toss the word biblical thriller out is they think of, initially, my pet peeve, Dan Brown and The Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons.
Your pet peeve.
Yes. I'll get into that if you want. But they think of those books that have stories that are based in biblical principles or, you know, something in the way of like archaeological discoveries that have biblical histories and things like that. So I wrote a book that I call a biblical thriller that is based on Christian principles and the kind of the crazy, hectic world that we live in now. And with the underlying theme of why bad things happen to good people, that's the main theme that runs through the book. But I gravitated toward a couple of conspiracy theories that run rampant amongst, you know, those who are really into those types of, you know, those documentaries that you may see on the History Channel or Travel Channel that really kind of gravitate to those types of things that are looking for, you know, something in the, like, mysteries of the Bible type of things. So this particular book, I based it on the Georgia Guidestones, my research into that. And if you've never heard it, you can do a Google search on that. It was a monument that was put up in the middle of Elberton, Georgia in 1980 by a person that is still unknown, anonymous, even though he represented a group of about 20 people that wanted to erect this monument, that left behind a new set of Ten Commandments that he wanted to lead to a new world order. And when you start talking about new world order, one world government, you immediately think of the apocalypse, the book of Revelation, biblical prophecy. And it really just smacked of that when I went down there and started doing my research. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to write a book. I've never written a biblical thriller. It's my first time doing it. If you've read any of my stuff, this is way different. So, yeah, so I decided I was going to write a biblical thriller with some really tough themes that kind of approach on what kind of world we're living in now, what kind of world we're moving in the future, and wrapping the book up with a Christian worldview, as opposed to what Dan Brown did with his books, Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons. Great stories, great storyteller. He might be a great guy, but at the end of the book, there was in those movies, there was so much controversy in the pop culture at the time because of those, because it really gave people reasons to doubt and question their faith instead of reasons to strengthen it. And that was my pet peeve, and I wanted to do something, a book and story that was just as exciting as one of those, but give people a reason to strengthen their faith and not question it.
I have to ask, what about the Dan Brown books made people question?
At the time...
Or what did you think made people...
Well, at the time, I was seeing a lot of, even on the NBC Nightly News, they were talking about this and having priests from the Catholic Church who were especially offended because they thought that Dan Brown was taking shots at the Catholic Church all throughout, actually not just both books, but really when the movies came out.
Yeah.
And those were directed, of course, by Ron Howard, who is also going to be very popular here in Appalachia before too long with another movie he's doing specifically about our region. But
What?
Yeah, he sounds like he's got some inside.
Yeah, I got some insight onto that too.
Let's put on the brakes just a second. So, can you tell us anything?
Yeah, actually, Ron Howard. There's a book around here that everybody knows about, but not many people like. It's called Hillbilly Elegy. Wildly popular bestseller. I'm sorry that the guy had the childhood and the way he grew up, but he wrote the book basically that the theme was. If you're from Appalachia, you're doomed. And if you succeed in life, it's in spite of where you're from, if you're from Appalachia.
No, it's like the Scottish.
Yeah, so it's a lot of people around here. I've even actually been to local libraries where an author wrote a book against the Hillbilly Elegies. And she was from Knoxville. And so many people disliked that book. But Ron Howard, Netflix gave Ron Howard a $45 million budget.
Ooh.
To be doing a movie on Hillbilly Elegy to basically throw our region under the bus, kind of like the book did. I'm not real happy about that either, but just ironically, it was Ron Howard that directed those movies from Dan Brown that were so controversial at the time. And I remember, like you'd ask, I'd seen articles on the internet at the time and newspapers such as Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. I mean, there were all kinds of things, if you just do a search on the controversy behind those books, that a lot of people were coming out and questioning their faith, and pastors across the nation were really upset about that, you know, about those, you know, just the messaging of the movies. And the books as they read them, too. And, you know, but, you know, it's he just represents a different worldview, and so does probably... Ron Howard, maybe. I don't know. I don't know them.
Rick, can you call Ron up? Let's get him on the phone.
I'm going to get Ron on the phone.
But you know, it was just a different worldview that I think a lot of people were kind of caught off guard with the popularity of those movies and the questioning of, you know, I guess, you know, when it comes to the Holy Grail, what the Holy Grail actually was and questioning the entire lifestyle of Christ. And did he have a wife? Did he have children? And those are things that, you know, that are still in documentaries today. They're questioned. But it caused a lot of people, especially people that are more impressionable that were going through, you know, younger people that may be going to church, it kind of started to question their faith. Not just younger people, but a lot of people to question their faith and question everything they'd read and grew up with in church and in the Bible. So, you know, that's their worldview and that's their perspective. And they made a lot of money and great for them. And I just wanted to have a theme and a story that was just as exciting, but when you got to the end of it, I didn't want to give people reasons to question their faith. I just wanted to give people reasons to strengthen it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you tackle that theme, why do bad things happen to good people? It's easy to question your faith when, you know. So it was just something that had been kind of stuck in my head since I went down there to the Guidestones, and I knew I was going to end up writing something along those lines, kind of the anti Dan Brown in a way. Mm-hmm. But it was you know, a thrilling story that I'd kind of concocted in my head over the months, and just when I actually sat down for the writing process, this book went quick. It really just kind of came right out. So
it seems like it went quick.
Yeah, it went quick for us.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't expecting that book so soon.
Yeah, it was just
and it's a big book. I mean, it's a
we're looking at a 300 some pager. It's, you know, it's not one of those like light. This is one you want to take on your vacation when you're going.
It is.
Yeah, it's a 320 page book. So, but again, it's an exciting mystery thriller all the way through. It's a lot of action. It's a lot to digest, but there are a lot of, you know, there's some other underlying themes other than just, you know, why bad things happen to good people. You tackle other issues like vengeance and does it belong to me and retribution and revenge. You know, so as people read this, when I wrote this book, I didn't intend it to be this way, but when I finished the book, I thought, you know, these are some tough themes that even, you know, youth pastors could maybe use in their church for their kids to read a, you know, a book like this. You know, if they're more mature young adults that could read a book like this and kind of let's have those discussions on why bad things happen to good people, because sometimes there's a reason. Sometimes we have to live through so many things and kind of learn that lesson ourselves, because it took me it's at one point in my life to look back and like, oh, if things didn't happen the way they did, things wouldn't be the way they are now. And I kind of understand. So you have some Job-like characters in the book that struggle with things that happened in their past and where they're going in their future and their mindset. And they're kind of like that journey after they've been jaded back toward their own faith that they had a long time ago that maybe they didn't have in the start of the book. So
you have two copies of Revelation Calling that you're going to give away to
Heck
our listeners.
Yeah.
You're so generous. Thank you, Cyrus. Let's take a quick commercial break. We're going to figure out if we're going to take caller numbers or what we're going to do. Rock, paper, scissors? I don't know. Can you do that over the radio?
Right.
That doesn't work. I was thinking of games. Okay, we'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Thanks for tuning in and listening to the show this morning. It's 84 degrees here in Bristol, Virginia. The sun is shining. We hopefully are going to have a few days of some sun. I think Rick said there's like a little bit of chance of rain, but we aren't going to say that. Didn't you say that? Nah.
Like slight chance.
Slight.
Not,
not where we are or where Cyrus Alderwood is, because everything is bright and sunshiny.
I think they call slight chances like 20%.
In other words, it ain't happening.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably not going to see it.
No.
It's going to be out there somewhere, but it's not going to be you.
I'll sleep through it. Doesn't matter anyway.
So we're back with our special guest, Cyrus Alderwood. He is talking about his new book called Revelation Calling. He has two copies this morning here with him that he is going to give away to two lucky winners. So we've decided we're going to take caller number one.
The first caller to get through was going to get themselves a free copy of Cyrus's new book. Say the name one more time.
It's Revelation Calling.
Revelation Calling. The second caller is not going to get a free book. But I've decided the third caller will get a free book.
Can people call more than once? Can the second caller immediately redial?
Yeah, they can continue to keep trying to call and squeeze in there if they can get it.
And if the second caller wants to buy a copy, I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
The second caller is free to buy a copy. They can find that copy at Amazon.com.
And it's important to support Cyrus because every time he comes, and he's been here numerous times, I don't even know how many times, he's like our resident author or whatever.
Six, seven.
He brings books to give to our listeners. So
that's right.
Support him and his work.
I like the way you think. Yeah.
And provide reviews.
Yeah.
Yes.
Reviews are important.
I like
the
way you think, too.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I'm feeling the love. Okay. So how long has the book been out, and what has been kind of the theme, I guess, that people are looking at, reacting to, kind of what are people thinking about it, saying about it?
That's a really good question. I've started getting some feedback already on this. The book came out in May, and I kind of rushed the book because I rushed the editing and kind of got through and had to do a print copy because I had booked a book signing in advance at Blackbird Bakery over in Bristol. So I had to hurry up and get those copies there and barely got them in time for that book signing. And, of course, you know, some people come through and bought them. And the feedback I'm getting already from some folks, there's three or four rankings and comments already on Amazon. But the feedback I'm getting from this is really positive. People are loving the story. Love the action and the pace of the story, but some people are really talking about those themes. And it's funny that you ask that question because last week, I got an email from a pastor in Elberton, Georgia, where these guidestones are located. I'm not going to mention his name. He actually asked me to be anonymous. But he he had emailed me and said that he had read the book, and the themes of it were really, really powerful. And he said the conclusion part where I wrapped up that Christian worldview really was kind of like a home run to him, that he has started mentioning it to people in his church and around the community. Now, I don't know whether the people of Elberton are going to appreciate having their town as the backdrop of a harrowing novel of kind of a diabolical conspiracy with the, you know, with leading into like the Book of Revelation and those types of things. But he said he loved the book so much, his secretary bought it and went out on her porch and read it in one sitting. Loved the book. So his daughter was really enthralled because she saw the cover, and it was this kind of a creepy in a way looking cover of the Georgia Guidestones. And she's like, is that the Guidestones up the road? She really wanted to read it. So he liked the book so well, he was letting his daughter read it. And with the feedback I've been getting, actually, is really good. Just to toss that out there, I actually emailed several, probably 30 or 40 churches. I have no marketing budget, so it's all word of mouth. So I just, thus, you know, I'm doing everything I can to kind of get the word out. So I probably emailed 30 or 40 churches, either around our region here or in Elberton and Elbert County, Georgia, to let them know about the book. And I'll continue that process until enough people know about it. But it's kind of one of those things when you read it, to set the tone. You ever set a tone for a book? You know, when you look at a cover, that's like a promise of what the book is going to be, right? So the first lines of this book, I picked one of my favorite Bible verse. And for most people, what would be, you know, when you think like Psalm 23rd Psalms, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of Walmart, I will fear no evil, especially on the first and third of the month, that sort of thing. But no, Ephesians 6:12. So when you open the book, this is the very first thing that you read that kind of sets a tone. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you can kind of see like there's some, you know, alluding to government corruption. And that phrase right there, that verse right there kind of leads you into the thinking about like the book of Revelation and all that happens, and the book of Daniel with Bible prophecy and things like that. So, yeah, it sets a tone. It makes a promise. And the feedback I'm getting is it kept its promise, which is like the nicest thing I could possibly hear, right? So,
congratulations.
Well, thanks and stuff.
Yeah. So one of the interesting things, how many books do you – I've lost count. How many books have you – published?
I have 10 on Amazon. I have 3 written that I've not yet published. I have one of those coming out this fall.
When you started writing, did you ever think that you would do a biblical thriller?
No, it was so much out of my wheelhouse because anybody that's read any of my stuff, I really kind of cut my teeth back in the early 2000s writing horror because I was just such a fan of, you know, those movies from the 80s and growing up. And, you know, I was going to write my own version of The Lost Boys or The Fog or whatever. And so I kind of cut my teeth writing those. And then a few years back, I decided to just get into a different frame of mind. I started writing comedy. And some of the most raucous stuff, like, you know, that movie The Hangover meets Cheers meets, you know, I don't know. But I tell people, like, when you're growing up and your two biggest influences are Freddy Krueger and Rodney Dangerfield, you kind of get a writer like me. But no, this was the first – I never really thought I would – jump into a biblical thriller. I can tell you now it probably won't be my last after writing this.
That was my next question. Yeah.
Because this was so much, it kind of just came out so easy, you know. I mean, the book, from the time I went to Georgia to Elberton to see the Guidestones, April of last year, I kind of let that story kind of just stew in my head for a few months, but the writing process just came right out of me. So it was so quick that It was so quick and easy, and so I think so important with the themes. I already have these other themes in mind or something else I want to tackle, and but I'll find another weird conspiracy to to tag it to, I'm sure, and go from there. But so I guess it's just up to where my next weird trip is going to be, because that was a spur of the moment trip to go down to Elberton. I'd seen documentaries on the Guidestones, and I thought, man, that is kind of twisted. I'm going to go down there, and you know, but you had to find it. I mean, it was a hard place to find. So it's like hunting deer, you know. It's a waiting game till you get there, right? So it's like you go to make so many wrong turns, and I did. It was like one of those It was really hard to find. So, and when I got there, the mindset of the individuals were, when I ask about the Guidestones, people were really standoffish. I approached the Elberton Star newspaper. They wouldn't talk to me after three or four emails. Nothing but crickets. Down there in town, the only person who really talked to me with any enthusiasm was somebody that wasn't from there. And then when I was trying to find it, when I was asking, one of the locals gave me the wrong directions. All they could do is tell me, just drive straight up the road and look to your right.
Oh,
they're about like, 3 miles.
We hope he won't see it. He sent me on
some weird back roads. And I thought, wow, that's – so I did have the preacher I got the email from. He wanted to remain anonymous. He was the only person from Elberton who had actually talked to me about the just the community's attitude toward that over the years and some of the things that he had seen. Go ahead.
We need to take a quick news break, but I want to hear about this because it's fascinating. And I can see you doing a book signing down there. I don't know how it's going to happen, but...
I'm already looking into it.
Okay, good. We might need to take a road trip for that, Rick. Okay, we'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9. We're back with my special guest, Cyrus Alderwood. We're talking about his brand new book, Revelation Calling. He generously has brought two copies for us to give away to our listeners. Rick, do we have any winners?
We have two winners.
We do?
Yeah.
Who are our lucky winners this morning?
Sharon in Meadowview was our first winner.
Congratulations, Sharon.
She is looking forward to reading your new book. And on the line with us is our second winner. Are you there?
Hey, good morning, guys.
There he is. It's Bruce.
Good morning, Bruce.
Movies with Bruce.
Congratulations.
He's going to...
Well, I'll tell you, I've been listening, Cyrus, and I'll tell you, you know, you've referenced a lot of movies, and your book really piqued my interest, so I'm really looking forward to it. And I got to be honest with you, I don't read a lot of books, so I'm really looking forward to getting a copy of this one.
Oh, well, I'm glad you called in and got one. Hopefully you'll make it through it. Hopefully it's not boring enough and keeps your attention. No, but
you can usually sit down and read it in a couple of days. I don't know if I can get that done, but I'm looking forward to this one.
No, I think you'll like it. It's a fast-paced story. And if you like it, you know, like I said, Rick mentioned, leave a Amazon ranking and comment. If you don't like it, just please don't tell a soul. You know, just keep it to yourself.
It's a free book.
Yeah.
Well, hey, when the movie comes out, you'll consider me for one of the parts, right?
Sure. Yeah, I'll ask Ron Howard because I'll ask him to direct it too, right?
Yeah. Oh no, I don't know about that. He got a lot of controversy over those other ones he did, didn't he?
Yeah, a good bit. Yeah, I remember when all that came out in the news back then. It was just. Every night for about 2 weeks, you know, as those movies both hit number one at the box office and stayed there consistently for a little while. Again, great movies. They may be great people, just, you know, different worldview, and then that's okay. I'm glad they made their money. I'm a little upset about the one about the Hillbilly Elegy movie, but, well, I'll get off my soapbox on that one.
Well, if you got a second, you shared one of your favorite verses. Is it okay if I share one?
Absolutely.
One of my life verses, Cyrus, 2 Timothy 1:12, says, "For the which cause I suffer these things also. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I believe that he is able to keep that I have committed unto him against that day." And a lot of people say, well, my goodness, that's something I would hear at a funeral. Why would that be your life verse? Well, it says in the verse, it says, I believed a who, not a what. I believe in Christ, and I believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him, which is my soul in eternity for me, against every day, not just the day I die, but against every day. Your book is about the revelation and the chapter of Revelation, but I'll tell you what, you know, it's every day we live it out, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And if as you go through the book, you'll find these characters, just like the rest of us, they're not perfect. They're flawed people. They've had jaded past, things that they can't get over with, things that they haven't dealt with in their own personal lives that lead them to where they're at. But, you know, they're on a path that takes them elsewhere. And, it impacts, you know, it's one of those things I think that all of us can relate to, the things that these characters have gone through.
Cyrus, you don't know me, but Christy and Rick do, and they both tell you that I'm extremely flawed, so I can probably relate to a lot of the characters in the book.
Yeah, no, I'm probably going to leave here and then, like, overeat at Chick-fil-A, right? So I'm going to hit one of those deadly sins on the way out of this place. But no, I mean, yeah, we're all flawed, and you know, it's one of those books that just kind of highlights the reality of that, but just how important and impactful we can be, you know, with, you know, if you're heading in the right direction in your life, and you know, keep these principles in mind. But thank you for sharing that verse.
And Cyrus, thank you. Hey, you're going to sign that for both us winners, aren't you?
Sure did. Already done it.
Hey, thanks, Christy. Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Cyrus. You had a great show. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce, for listening, and congratulations. It's great to hear from you, and thank you for sharing your favorite verse with us. Let's talk briefly about the cover of this book, Revelation Calling.
Yeah, it's kind of a view of, like, an upward view of the guide stones. I must admit I'm colorblind, but it's a kind of a reddish scheme in there. The artist who did the cover was actually on your show a few weeks ago. His name is Gary Kwapis, and he has a long history in the arts. Marvel Comics, worked at, I think, Sesame Street at one point, worked doing the graphic art for the Jurassic Park movie back in the 90s, the original one. I think he'd worked with the marketing displays of those. He was an amazing artist, and he approached me about having a, you know, when you're going to have a book cover, you're selling a promise. And me doing my own book covers, terrible mistake. So Gary has been nice enough to actually do this book cover and one other for me. So, yeah, you have no idea how much I appreciate that. He does an amazing job. And this book cover is certainly an eye-catcher. And it certainly does make a promise when you look at it of what kind of story you're getting.
Well, congratulations. Is there anything else that you'd like to share about this book with our listeners?
Yeah, I'll just, you know, say thank you to the anonymous pastor down in Elberton that talked to me, and I talked to him, so, you know, three or four times during the course of writing the book. The ironic thing is, you know, the guy who put the guidestones up, Robert C. Christian, or R.C. Christian, as he's referred to, no one still knows who he is. I kind of allude to who I think he might be in the book, by the way, so
ooh.
As you go through it, you'll kind of see. But, you know, I find it ironic that you have this mystery who still has an unknown person behind it. And here I write a book called Revelation Calling. Ironically, the initials, R.C., I didn't think about that till the book came out. And yet one of the people who kind of counseled me going through the book is an anonymous person. So it's kind of, he asked me to keep him anonymous because there was so much like a taboo about people speaking out about it down there, because they do want it for tourism, even though I didn't see many people down there touring this thing, but they wanted to leave that up. I guess that mystery just lends some identity to the town. It's such a small town. It's called the Granite Capital of the World, so any headstone around here is probably coming from there. All right, so, but yeah, I just felt that was ironic, and I was, you know, lucky enough to have at least one person the right person to talk to me and counsel me through this book. Even if the folks at the newspaper weren't kind enough to work with me. But they know the book's out now, too, because I've touched base with them again.
Yeah. So you may be getting some calls.
I doubt it. But,
well, thank you so much for being here. It's fun, as always, to have you in the studio with us. Be sure and check out his book, Revelation Calling, Cyrus Alderwood. Can't wait to see what's up next. Now, are you taking a breather? I know you're trying to get this book out there and trying to market it. What are you writing a new one now?
I'm already writing another one.
Are you?
Yeah, so I've always got one going, and so I'm writing another, but I'm actually doing a lot of, you know, trying to do a lot of like online marketing for this. Like I said, I'm emailing churches and organizations around the country. Mostly I'm starting here locally at churches to let people around here know that the book is here, and then down in Elberton. But I'll be at Big Walker Lookout in June for another book signing up there. Actually, when I go to these book signings, people are actually coming up to me and actually buying these copies off of me, so I'm trying to keep enough with me. So I'm actually selling a whole lot more personally than I am on Amazon. So I'll be up there, but if you want to find out what I'm doing next, just you can jump on cyrusalderwood.com, or you can, you know, maybe look me up on social media. If I'm doing book signings, I'll post up there. If I'm doing any kind of, you know, if I happen to hear from the Elberton Star for an interview down there, I'll definitely let you know.
That sounds good. Can't wait to see what's next. Thank you again. Hope you have a happy 4th of July.
Yeah, you too, guys. And thank you for the callers in. I hope you guys enjoy the books.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9.